time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview that we have for you today, we're going to set the tone, as always, with a little bit of live music. This is Sustained by Grace. This is from my CD called True Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
Have the will to fight. And then I experienced your love. Compassion filled my soul. Your faithfulness has changed my life. Oh, I was caught in the mud and overtaken by the flood. Didn't always have the will to.
Everyone, my name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I hope you enjoyed my song called Sustained by Grace. Our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries from their website. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org and you can get all of the information that you are looking for. So let's jump right into our interview. We are welcoming Allison Myers. Hey, Allison.
Hello. Hello.
Allison is a storyteller, a learner, a maker, living in Dallas. She's an advocate of the arts, advocate of turn signals and brunch.
Yes.
So we're going to have to talk about that.
That's great.
In that order. Okay. Yeah. She writes about God and humans mostly. Allison works in Christian education. And so we are so excited to welcome Allison to the show. This is her first time. And so she does not want me to say that she blogs, but she writes down information that, like, she wrestles with, and she can't help but write something down about these topics, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically you just described a blog, which is okay. It's not a bad word. I just feel like there are so many bloggers who put so much work into what they're doing, and I don't do that. I have an outlet. Like I was telling you, I have a place on the internet where I store things that I feel like I can't not write anymore.
Right, right.
And so they live there, and I guess technically I'm a blogger, I guess. But inconsistent blogger.
Inconsistent. But let me tell you, what you write is so thought-provoking, and it's like out of the box. Like the stuff that one of them that I wrote is like you went to a coffee shop. And it was like a group of, I think,
girls. High school girls. Yeah.
We're talking, and that just inspired you to, because did you talk to them or you just listening, right?
I just totally eavesdropped.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just had a whole moment in this coffee shop. And normally I talk about I'll call it a blog, in the essay. I talk about how I go to this coffee shop.
The non-blog.
The non-blog, yes. I go to this coffee shop all the time, and there are kids in there always. I mean, just droves of high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I work at a school. I work in education, and so I'm fine with them. I like them. I have a soft spot in my heart for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really want to hear their conversations. They're kind of loud. I'm like, this is, I'm trying to get some work done. And so I always put my headphones in and just let them do their thing. I try to drown out their conversations of calculus and all of that because I never want to talk about calculus
again. Right, it's behind us.
Yes, let it live in the past. But yeah, I love young girls. I love young women so much. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know when I just started developing such a love and just a passion for them, just to see them thrive, and just in general, like all of them.
Yes.
Nothing specific, but I remember sitting in this coffee shop, and there are these girls sitting kind of near me, and I am just all of a sudden taken by their conversation, and I'm reminded once again how capable young women are. I think so often we write them off, you know, we write them off as ditzy and silly and immature, dramatic, emotional, you know, all of these things that are kind of stereotypes. And I think they're just so unfair because, I mean, working with kids, and I'm not a teacher, but I work in administration, and seeing these kids that we work with all the time, I'm like, you're so capable. You're so smart. You know, you're so reasonable and rational, and you have such good ideas. I talked to one girl yesterday that just graduated high school, and she was the valedictorian of her class. And at their school, it's here in Dallas, but at their school, they had to do essentially like a capstone project.
Okay.
And it was like a high school version of a thesis. I mean, they worked
on
it. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. High expectations, but they worked on it all year long, and they had their advisors, you know, and their committees. It was essentially like they were graduate students. And I didn't know this girl very well, but I knew that she did this project. And so I started talking to her about it, and she just started educating me. I was like, the vocabulary that exists in this young woman's brain is just off the charts.
Yeah.
And I was reminded again, how many good ideas they have. And, and I just, And young men, too, but I just have a specific passion and love for young women just to overcome these stereotypes and be heard and be taken seriously. And so,
That's great.
They're, you know, 30 minutes later. That's what that blog was about.
No. I get that. Like, you want, I mean, mine is the nonprofit world. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always wanting to, I'm not shy from the microphone. So I'm not shy of having the microphone in my hand, mm-hmm. so that I can tell a whole group of young people how special and how talented and how unique you are, and just how much I see in you. And so just, you know, go through life and don't think that you've made the worst mistake now. Let me tell you, you know, like, I've made some of the worst mistakes. Like, you're good. So just keep going and keep going for your dreams and just work hard. Work hard. You'll get there. So I'm with you, Allison. I'm with you. One of the things that I wanted to talk, your essay, Nonblog, that you wrote, it was back in July 2017.
Yeah.
It's called How the Gospel Might Shine. And let me tell, and it was a long one, so it's good. So I recommend that people search for it and look it up, sit down with some coffee and read it, and because it, I don't know, it's just so great. I mean, I thought, oh my God, I've got to have Allison on. Oh my goodness, why did I say that? Oh my goodness, we got to have Allison on. My mom is going to be upset about that. Uh-oh. Oh my God, comment. Oh my goodness, we got to have Allison on so she can talk us through, you know, what you went through to get, you know, to write that essay. I mean, it's really good. So it starts by saying that you took a trip and your friend played some of her favorite music for you, and it was Middle Eastern music, and it just kind of clicked, like, in your brain and in your heart, and you saw the Lord differently. So kind of take us back to that moment and let us kind of live through you in that moment. What was going on?
Well, I start the essay from this moment, but the story doesn't actually start in this moment.
Okay.
So this is a pivotal point for me on a journey that started months and months prior, maybe even over a year prior. And so that bus ride that I mentioned is more of a breaking point, not a starting point.
Okay.
And so that was sort of like the Lord kicking down like a final wall that was built up. And it was really emotional for me. And this blog was, it was very stressful not to write. I think I ended up writing it at like 2 a.m. on a Wednesday night or something, because I was just up and I was like, I have to get this out. And so writing it was therapeutic, but sharing it, because I did also feel like I really needed to share this part of my story, was very stressful for me. And even just reliving it, I hadn't revisited that blog really since you mentioned it to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember. I was actually in Austin on a trip when I just submitted it, sent it out into the airwaves.
Okay.
And I was like, you never know who's going to read things.
Yeah.
And I'm from a very small town in eastern New Mexico.
Okay.
And went to college in West Texas.
Okay.
And this story that I write about, I realize I'm not giving you very much context in the essay, but that person that I talk about, my friend, was actually my roommate. And so we were roommates. We were both interning abroad. Mm-hmm. She was from Saudi Arabia. I didn't meet her until we got there.
Okay.
And so I didn't know anything about her. She was actually my first Muslim friend.
Wow.
And I had a lot of, say, biases, just a lot of misconceptions.
Mm-hmm. Just things we don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just stuff you don't know if you're not exposed to different kinds of experiences, different kinds of worldviews. And so I really didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But we ended up becoming really good friends, which was just a super cool gift from the Lord in that.
Mm-hmm.
But the journey really started back probably in college. And I went to college in West Texas. And so it's really tempting to say, like, yeah, just go abroad, go somewhere and let the Lord teach you all these things about other cultures.
Right.
You know, that's icky. I don't even really like the way that sounds. I realize I was incredibly privileged to have this opportunity to go and to intern abroad and to have, you know, parents who saw the value in that and mm-hmm. supported me in that and made that possible. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord used that experience for me, but he didn't have to. He could have done that for me in Eastern New Mexico.
Right.
He started that for me in the panhandle of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not necessarily the experience or the place or necessarily any of those specifics, but it's about allowing the Lord to open up your eyes wherever you are.
Yes.
And so I jump a lot around mm-hmm. In the way that I tell the story and also in the blog, and mm-hmm. you'll probably see that. But it just was a real tumultuous journey of seeing that there was so much more to God, to my faith,
mm-hmm.
to the world. The world grew 1,000 times,
yes.
you know, on this journey. And so in this experience that I'm talking about, I begin to just see people for their humanity, and I talk about that and how they become people to me and not a place on a map,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
not a headline mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. the news that you see,
mm-hmm.
But they become teachers and they become bankers and
yes.
daughters and sons, and they become college kids who like to go to the mall
mm-hmm.
and listen to Iraqi music.
Mm-hmm.
I was struck by the normality of her life,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
and I was struck because I realized in that moment, we're peers. I am not above you.
Right.
I'm not superior to
right.
you. My experience is not superior to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it was a moment of reckoning. And it had started in college when I had some amazing professors and some amazing pastors that really walked through a lot of questions that I had
mm-hmm.
with me. They really walked alongside me, and just some friends. I mean, I have the best friends in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I totally believe that. And that I would bring questions to them and I would say, hey, this is something I'm kind of exploring and I don't really know how I feel about it. I don't know where we're going to end up. And they're like, well, I'm coming too.
Yeah.
You know, what are you reading?
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
read that too.
Yeah.
Let's talk
yeah.
about it. And so when I say exploring, I never questioned my Christian faith
right.
or anything like that.
Right.
But just having my eyes opened to the idea that maybe mine isn't the only valid viewpoint, or maybe my very specific place in my very specific Christian denomination is not the only thing that God loves
mm-hmm.
and honors.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's still kind of difficult for me to articulate. But so I began really this fascination with Catholicism, actually,
okay.
And just high church and
mm-hmm.
liturgy and
mm-hmm.
tradition and just oldness,
mm-hmm,
you know, I
mm-hmm.
was like, whoa, it's so old. Like this
mm-hmm.
is, you know, and the idea of people across the world reading the same scripture and,
yes,
and
yes.
engaging in the same type of liturgy every week or every day even. I grew really fascinated by this. And I think what drew me to it most is just how uncool it was.
Hmm.
And I go to a church still with the lights and the loud
yes.
music. And, the,
yes.
and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But my eyes were opened once again to something else that was right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't inferior.
Yes.
It was different.
Yes.
But one of my best friends, actually, she's a Catholic missionary, and she introduced me to Catholicism, really into high church. And I remember the first time I walked into Mass with her, I remember
mm-hmm.
thinking, wow, God is here. Like the room felt different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so, it was quiet and it was reverent.
Mm-hmm.
So the Catholic Church is really where I learned reverence for God
mm-hmm.
In a way that I didn't growing up in a non-denominational, very contemporary setting,
mm-hmm.
Which again, I still love.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
attend that
yeah.
type of service still, but I began taking all of the good things and seeing how that fit into my faith walk now. I don't
mm-hmm.
believe that every church service or every church has to embody every single good
right.
part of every
right.
denomination.
Right.
You know, there are different emphases on different denominations, and I think that's what makes it beautiful. You get to see the complexities
mm-hmm.
of the church. But I began to take those things and apply them to my own personal walk. And so I learned so much, but reaching out, branching out, it was a little bit scary to some of the people that knew me,
mm-hmm.
some of the people that...
Were they scared that you were going to the other
yeah,
side?
Yeah, which
mm-hmm.
Was very frustrating. I mean, this journey
mm-hmm.
altogether, if I could sum it up, it was so frustrating
mm-hmm.
Because I'm seeing all these different things where I feel like I connect with this,
mm-hmm.
but then I feel like I'm not allowed to.
Hmm.
You know, I feel guilty for looking elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And once again, I never thought about, I never questioned who Jesus was. I never questioned God. I never questioned my Christian faith. Mm-hmm. But it was allowing myself to have seen things wrong or to have seen mm-hmm. things incompletely. Mm-hmm. Again, it's still kind of, I'm still finding language for it. It's even, you know, 2 years later or 3 years, it really started probably three and a half to 4 years ago. But the best way I could have described it, and I don't want to be insulting or dishonoring mm-hmm. to anyone who was influential in my upbringing, because right. I'm so grateful and there's so much good there.
Right.
But it felt like one day I realized I was in the kiddie pool mm-hmm. and there
was more.
And there was more. There mm-hmm. was, there were oceans available to mm-hmm. me. And so I really reckoned with this feeling of almost feeling like betrayed. Mm-hmm. Like, you've kept this from me. Mm-hmm. Like, you've kept me in the kiddie pool when there is an ocean available. Mm-hmm. And I was really upset about it. And, so it wasn't, as I got further along, it wasn't so much that anyone was keeping anything from me mm-hmm. on purpose. It mm-hmm. was more of a, well, we like the kiddie pool. We right, like right, it right. over here. We right. thought you did too. You know, what's mm-hmm. what's wrong with it? And nothing is wrong with mm-hmm. it. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
But upon realizing that there's so much more to the world, to our faith, to mm-hmm. God, mm-hmm. It was a little bit, I don't even know how to describe it. It was earth-shattering for me.
Hmm.
And the beginnings, and up until recently, I would say this journey has been marked by little identity crises.
Hmm.
And that sounds dramatic, but it was a lot of unlearning and mm-hmm. letting go and mm-hmm. untangling and mm-hmm. and deconstructing. And that's kind of a buzzword that we hear a lot now, is this, you know, deconstructing your faith and things like that. But I mean it in the most literal way.
Mm-hmm.
It was just taking it apart and seeing what's good, you know, holding it up to the light mm-hmm. and seeing what holds up
mm-hmm.
and stripping it all away. And which is why I gravitated towards High Church, because it was all stripped away. You mm-hmm. know, there mm-hmm. was nothing with which I could confuse the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no, it wasn't this big emotional thing where I would say, okay, well, is this my emotions or is this the Spirit or mm-hmm. is, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is this my idea or is it the Spirit,
right.
you
right.
know? And so it was good to just have that kind of all stripped away. And so probably I spent a year and a half to 2 years just taking people off of pedestals
mm-hmm.
And then burning the pedestals altogether.
Hmm.
I also speak in metaphor a lot. I'm mm-hmm. a 9 on the Enneagram scale, so
okay.
that's like a thing that we do.
We love 9s.
Yeah,
yes.
We don't even have to. I could go on for a long time about that, and we don't have to do that today. But it was such a deconstruction process,
mm-hmm.
and it was so difficult for me. And I spoke with one of my college mentors. I went back to West Texas mm-hmm. on vacation or something, and I mm-hmm. met up with her, and I was sharing this journey with her, and she said, you know, I went through the same thing, and I'm praying that you can let people be wrong without making monsters out of them.
Hmm.
And
yeah, and that's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so learning how to sit across the table from someone who I think is wrong mm-hmm. and just letting them be a wrong human,
mm-hmm.
you know, not making them into a monster mm-hmm. or a moron.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there are very reasonable, mm-hmm. smart people that we mm-hmm. we just have disagreements with.
Right, right.
And so that was, yeah. That
and you
was
know,
a big
that's
part of it.
I, you know, I really think that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. Like we devalue the beauty when we get to a place when we say my experience and my background is better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then we don't allow our brothers and sisters in Christ to come to the table and bring their experience. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, say, okay, how can we include all of our backgrounds mm-hmm. and everything? So I like that you say that, you know, that we continue to have conversations with people and learn things about people and invite people in our family
mm-hmm.
because we understand that differences are great, that the Lord created us all
yeah.
and you're not wrong and I'm right. You know, we're going to do this together and mm-hmm. we're going to learn from each other. And I'm going to try to step in your shoes and understand your experience and live my life in a way that I feel like, okay, I've grown because I know Allison.
Absolutely.
And now I know her experience and I've added them to my experience, even though it hasn't been something that I've experienced yet.
It's, exactly.
So, okay, so I know we need to take a break. So let's press the pause button right now. Let's take a break and we will be right back.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We are having a great conversation with Allison Myers, and we're talking through her non-blog, air quotes, essay that she posted in July 2017. It's called How the Gospel Might Shine. And Allison, when you were taking us through just a taste of kind of the journey and the wrestling that you went through, and the Lord was just revealing himself to you in different ways throughout this journey. You know, I am one, this really resonates with me, I think, because I am one who loves church. And I know probably people are laughing, like knee slapping.
They
laughing.
Know that that's so on brand.
Yeah. So, but I am one that I have loved church since I was little. Like I always loved church. But when I say I love church, I mean, I don't love just one way. Like, I love global.
Yeah.
You know,
you love church.
Yes, yeah. I love church. And so, like, when we go, everybody knows that the Lord really blew my mind. I think we probably had the same experience, but in different ways.
Yeah.
When the Lord really opened my mind when I started going to Costa Rica and then Africa. After that, but like when I go to Costa Rica, and usually we go to a different church every single time, everybody wants to go out and look at the mountains and everything. Mm-hmm. I just want to sit in the church.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to sit there and I want to take it in and I want to look and I want to see the things that are different about their setup than ours. What's the same? What are the people saying? That they're speaking Spanish and I'm Spanglish at best.
Sure.
Even though Michael Gomez and Aaron Long are really working with me. So shout out to them, but I'm a tough case.
It's a journey.
And so so I'm listening to the language and everything that people are saying. And I just love sitting in the church. And the same sitting here in the church that I worship with now, Holland Park, we have so many different types of services. And I want to tell you the truth. I love them all. And I feel the Spirit in all of them, and the Lord speaks to me in all of them. And I mainly work in one, but I love the others. And so I'm the one that's the wrong girl in the high church.
Absolutely.
When we're singing the hymns, I'm still dancing, you know, I'm still clapping. And then, you know, the choir sings something majestic about the Lord. And I start clapping at the end, and, you know, you're not supposed to do that. So I get myself in trouble because I truly, I love church. Like, I love it all. So I'm wondering, I want you to, can you give us kind of a glimpse of when you were talking with the pastors and talking to different people about the gospel and the areas, you know, kind of that they work in and the areas that they're familiar in?
Yeah.
What did they tell you? What did they teach you?
Oh man, well, I had an amazing college pastor when I was in college, and he went to DTS here in Dallas, and just one of the smartest guys I ever knew. And this is before I really had any interest that I knew of in theology or in church setup or church design, mm-hmm. you know, service design, things like that. And that's still not, it's not what I do all the time, but I am really interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started having these questions, and I would just go to him and say, you know, this is how you are interpreting this verse, but I have read a lot of other interpretations of this verse,
mm-hmm.
and I want to know, you know, I want you to basically state your case.
Mm-hmm.
And so I challenged him a lot, and mm-hmm. and I had a lot of discussions with my professors. The cool thing about going to college in West Texas is that sometimes you also go to church with your professors,
right?
Mm-hmm. And that's probably a good thing about churches or colleges in a lot of other places too.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
specifically in West Texas, I thought that was really cool. But I would challenge them, and I describe myself, I don't know if it's in this blog, but just as like this swinging pendulum that was so wounded.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was just swinging back and forth because I would just recoil from one to mm-hmm, the next,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I talked about earlier just kind of fighting this sense of betrayal, of like, you kept all of this information from me, you kept all these experiences from me, when that's not the case at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an identity crisis of...
Mm-hmm.
I've had these blinders on, and maybe there are other things outside of these blinders
yes.
that are good and true,
mm-hmm.
Just like my experience,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I would bring those questions to my pastors and even had these discussions with my professors, and I was firing questions, you
mm-hmm.
know, and would try to poke holes in their arguments, and
mm-hmm.
I did sometimes, you know, and the beauty of just these gracious people is that sometimes they would say, oh yeah, that's a great point. I don't
right.
know. Let's
yeah.
let's dive into that together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think really the questions or the answers I was looking for were, you know, can this be right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
if we strip all of these other things away, you know, if we really strip down these, denominations and this service design, you know,
mm-hmm.
if we really strip these things down, is Jesus still at the center of
mm-hmm.
all of them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can Jesus be found in this huge, beautiful cathedral the same way that he can be found in this little Southern Baptist church
mm-hmm.
in the Panhandle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what about, take church away from it altogether, is God still dwelling in the middle of Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
you know, where my
mm-hmm.
my new friend is from,
mm-hmm.
and I begin to see her humanity. Is God there too,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I talk about God being able to build a table in the presence of our enemies,
yes.
right? But I begin to wrestle with this question of, well, can he build a table in the midst of my friends,
mm-hmm.
in the presence of my friends
mm-hmm.
who sometimes, in my mind, I saw as other, you know, because they didn't have the same experience as me, or they didn't have the same amount of knowledge, you know, quote
mm-hmm.
unquote, as me. They didn't go to the same type of church as me. And so they were still my friends, but they were a little bit lesser, or they were a little bit
mm-hmm.
less enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that table
mm-hmm.
setup situation look like?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all the things that I was bringing to my mentors and my pastors, and they were so, so gracious and patient with me and just gave me so much room to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And they are what inspire me now
mm-hmm.
to have patience and to have compassion and to have understanding and to remember that you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of these realizations came to me because I simply just didn't know. I wasn't exposed to other people's point of view,
mm-hmm.
other people's points of view and other people's experiences and upbringings. And I feel like I'm sounding very vague right now, but I mean, it's just as simple as that. Like, everybody's experience was different, and I thought mine was the best.
Hmm.
You know, that's really mm-hmm. kind of what it boils down
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And so to allow myself to have been wrong about that
mm-hmm.
Was the most difficult part, but the most freeing part.
Yes.
I mean, it felt like every inch gained was a victory because I felt like I really fought for it, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I really wrestled
mm-hmm.
with it. And just allowing myself to change my mind. And to go back on something that I had said previously
mm-hmm.
and to say, hey, I've really prayed about this and I've really done a lot of research on this. And now my view is this.
Yes.
And so what I said before, I think I was wrong. And that was so hard
that's
for me. I mean,
good.
I think that's a
yeah.
hard thing for
but
humans
everybody.
In general.
Yes.
But
yeah.
But that was a big part of it, was being willing to backtrack mm-hmm. with the Lord and just mm-hmm. say, okay, show me where I was wrong
yeah.
or show me where I wasn't seeing the full picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I,
that's good.
I'm very aware that I still don't have the full picture
mm-hmm.
And that right now I could be wrong about things
mm-hmm.
and I probably am. And so it has allowed me to approach things with more humility
mm-hmm.
and just more grace in general, because I know a year from now or 10 years from now or 2 months from now, I could look back and say, yeah, I was wrong about that. Like, the Holy Spirit has since shined his little flashlight on this
yes.
area
yes.
and has changed my mind about this.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I taught a spiritual disciplines class this past semester for Visible Music College, which is, it's an accredited Christian mm-hmm. music college.
Yeah.
And the spiritual discipline book, and I have not stopped talking about this book because it was huge, and we think there are maybe 2 to 5 spiritual disciplines. Let me tell you, there are way more,
mm-hmm.
and we're missing out because
oh, yeah.
we don't know. Like you said, like mm-hmm. we don't know. So we're missing out. And one of them I kind of thought of when I was reading your essay, because one of them is, it says, see what happens if you read the news or listen to the news, just read it
mm-hmm.
or listen to it, take it in, and then see how God might be moving your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see if he's leading you to do something about something that you hear, or see if he's leading you to pray for someone or reach out to someone.
Yeah.
See how you
wow.
might get involved in the world and in the things that are going on in the world. And it seems like that was one of the things that you wrestled with and went through as
yeah.
you started getting to know the plight of other groups
yeah.
of people, different types of people, the things that they are dealing with. And maybe at one point we think, oh, those people should just get their stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't there ducks in a row?
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Lord shines the light on, well, actually, this is the background of their experience. And then you get to the place where, like, okay, maybe I'm called to do something about
mm-hmm.
it now that I understand it in
yeah.
a different way. It seems like you went through something like that, right?
Yeah, I think that would be fair to say.
yeah,
I remember just, it was so gradual. I mean, it was gradual and then it was all at once. And
mm-hmm.
then it would be gradual again. And yeah, seeing the world, entering into, I guess metaphorically or spiritually, but entering into just the wounds and the pain
mm-hmm.
and the hurt of other people that I was so far removed from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to make it about geography, because once again, the Lord can move wherever and whenever he wants.
Right.
But seeing things on the news, you're only getting a very small part
mm-hmm.
of the picture. You're
mm-hmm.
not getting a lot of context for the most part. And so things that I would see on the news, the plights of other people, based on my knowledge or my experience, I would say, you know, well, why aren't they just doing this? Why aren't they handling it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and I don't want to dive into too touchy of territory, but I talk about how 2016, you know, was just like the year of hashtags, where
mm-hmm.
you're seeing
mm-hmm.
People of color, Black people for the most part, being killed
mm-hmm.
On the streets. And so I, for the most part, I was so far removed from it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't part of my reality at all. I'm from
mm-hmm.
a tiny, tiny place. That's, I can't even picture that happening,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I project my experience
mm-hmm.
into that
mm-hmm.
situation
mm-hmm.
and just say, well, why didn't they do this?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if they would just handle it like this,
then
the solution would be solved, you know,
right.
because I do know everything and my, you know, my projections are obviously accurate and very flawless.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so easy to just slap bumper sticker solutions
right.
or bumper sticker theology
right.
onto something and just say, well, you know, it's a heart issue
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
it's a sin issue
mm-hmm.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they would just follow the rules,
right.
you know. But the Lord began to show me, like, oh my goodness, these things are so much more complex
mm-hmm.
than you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have lived such a life of comfort and privilege and luxury and safety that you can't even imagine what it feels like to enter into that.
Right.
And so he really started working, opening my eyes up to these things slowly, whenever I was in college, and it was really tough for me to come to terms with this reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, those were other things that I ended up bringing to my pastors and mentors and professors as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just saying, what does this mean? Have I actually been wrong about this? Is my viewpoint unfair? Mm-hmm. Is it incorrect? Mm-hmm. And then coming to the point where I'm saying, oh, no, have I in some way contributed to that with this mindset that I've had? Maybe not literally at all, but mm-hmm. just am I somehow defiling the image of God in this person with my mindset, which I think is absolutely just as harmful as physically harming someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're and it was subconscious for me. I didn't know I was doing it. And you know, there was nothing overtly hateful, I don't think, in my heart. But when I was writing people off or, you know, not believing them or filling in the gaps with my own experience into
mm-hmm.
theirs, mm-hmm. That's totally unfair.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord started to really show that to me, like, hey, slow your roll. You don't mm-hmm. have the whole picture here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough, but it was so good. And it was something that, I mean, I had some opportunities in college, like in my college group, to kind of lead some discussions on this, or not even really lead discussions, but just facilitate it and just say, hey, what do we do about this?
Mm-hmm.
And even there in my college experience, still so far removed from
mm-hmm.
it. That's
mm-hmm.
not a reality that I'm looking at
mm-hmm.
on my day-to-day life. It's something that I am seeing on the news, or I'm seeing on Twitter, and
mm-hmm.
I'm filling in the gaps,
mm-hmm.
but it's not something that I live in day-to-day.
Right.
And so really really reckoning with what's my job here?
Mm-hmm.
Do I do
mm-hmm.
anything
mm-hmm.
here? You know,
mm-hmm.
what can I do? And so I moved to Dallas in 2016, and which it is more of a reality here because
mm-hmm.
you have more people.
Right.
I mean, you have anywhere people are,
right,
you're going to have conflict
right.
and tension.
Exactly.
You know, that's
exactly.
just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were things that I did see a little bit more up close. But the Lord had started this journey with me before then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to kind of work it out before I got here. And it's still a journey I'm on. Very much so, but to really start having these conversations with me was very helpful. And I talk about in the blog that this pastor that at a church that I don't even go to, I don't
mm-hmm.
even remember the name of the church, honestly,
mm-hmm.
But he was on the stage, and I was just there visiting with some friends, but from the stage, he like calls me out, and I hate that. Like, you should just know that I do not ever want
like,
to be.
How was it?
Like, he's like, oh, you in the green shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, literally. And I was like, And my friend that I was going with told me, he was like, by the way, sometimes this happens. Like, he was a guest preacher. Like,
he didn't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was like, this happens sometimes. Like, this guy's really great, and he's very, you know, biblically sound and whatever. And I was like, okay, sure. You know? And
wow.
I was like, I'm for sure going to the car, though, if he starts doing this, like if he starts calling people out. And he was like, I'll give you my car keys. Like, you can go at any point. And but he was so normal. Like, he
right.
was not a
right.
scary,
right.
like,
right.
shouty,
right.
you know, any of that. He's
right.
very, very normal. But at the end, yeah, of course. And, I mean, this is a huge sanctuary. There's probably 600 people in there. I mean, it's just massive. And of
right.
course, of course. And, yeah.
The Lord highlights you.
Yes. I was like, I think I, like, gave the Lord, like, a tacky look where I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this was our deal. Like, I said I would come visit this church with my friend if this didn't happen,
oh,
and
goodness.
It's happening. But so he calls me out, and he's like, really starts affirming me
mm-hmm.
Just in my friendships. He's
mm-hmm.
like, you're such a good friend, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like a lot of affirmation, which was really nice. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But then he told me at the end, he said, you know, your eyes have been opening to a lot of things that are wrong with the world.
Hmm.
And I was like, yes. And he said, you know, the Lord is going to continue to show you things that are wrong.
Hmm.
And he said, your job is to, he said, you're feeling very frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes. Yes, sir, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, your job is not to bring those frustrations to other people. Your job is to bring them to the Father
hmm.
and to intercede for these people,
hmm.
you know, to intercede for the things that are wrong, the fractures of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of made a snarky comment earlier, but at the root of it, it is a sin problem. It is a humanity problem,
right?
You know,
right,
that manifests right. itself in these terrible ways. But he said, you know, your job is to pray and to mm-hmm. really intercede for these people. And I mm-hmm. thought, okay, that's my job. Mm-hmm. You know, I had been asking, Lord, what's my role in this?
Right.
What's my role in
right.
this? Okay, it's to pray like he actually listens.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
amen.
Yeah. And it was, again, just a point
mm-hmm.
on a long road. And it's true. Like, daily, I feel like I'm constantly being made aware of more wounds in humanity, which mm-hmm. are honestly, I see it as a grace from the Lord that he is showing us these things, mm-hmm. if only we will receive it.
Right.
If we will let him perform surgery and not put Band-Aids on it,
mm-hmm.
you know, not continue to try to fix it ourselves, but really to allow the Lord to do his surgery in our nation, in our world, I think there is great opportunity for growth and for healing. But it starts really with intercession and knowing that the things that are hurting me, the things that I am caring about, that mm-hmm. the Lord is bringing to my attention,
mm-hmm.
may not be on the heart of other people that I care about,
mm-hmm.
that love mm-hmm. me, people that are in my inner circle, you know, my family, people that grew up with me, whose reality is not that at all.
Right.
You
right.
know, I really had to come to terms with that, of saying, okay, maybe this isn't a priority for you, and that it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be for me,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, and again, taking those frustrations to the Lord, not
right.
to other people,
right.
not fixing them myself, but
right.
Yeah, it continues.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I yeah. would, you know what? I would hope that anyone who is listening to this radio show today would would be a light bulb moment for them. What you just said, that if you have a point in your life when you are wrestling with something, and what we mean by wrestling, if something kind of sticks with you and won't leave you alone.
Yeah.
It like just keeps poking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're like, why can't I forget this? Why can't I just dust it off and move on?
Yeah.
Like, that's a wrestling. And I think the first thing we should do is pray. And normally for us humans, us smart ones here, we normally pray last,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we say things like, oh, I guess I've
last
done
checker.
Everything,
yeah.
Everything else I can think of. Let me at least pray.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that you said, you know, pray like we know the Lord is listening. Like
yeah.
we do know that he's listening,
mm-hmm.
that he's with us, and that he knows the details of our lives and the details of our hearts. And if he gives us an experience that won't leave us alone, that just means that I say that our heart is softened to the Lord and
mm-hmm.
is softened to a little bit to how he sees things.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. It's a good
it
thing
is.
that we can at least for a little bit see the world the way he sees the world and pray about it.
Yeah.
I think that's what he wants us to do. And I also love that in your blog, I know our time is short, but I just want to bring this up, that in your essay, sorry, you say that the Lord, yes, he can come into our boxes. He is in our boxes, not
mm-hmm.
he can. He is in our boxes.
Yeah.
He is with us where we are. So if we're like, okay, I haven't experienced all these things, listen, the Lord is with you
mm-hmm.
where you are.
Absolutely.
But also, let's all keep in mind that the Lord has so much outside of the boxes
yeah.
that we put him in and that we're in. And so if we can get to the place where we can allow our minds and our hearts to lead us outside of the box, man, there's so much that the Lord wants to do, wants
yeah.
us to see.
A much fuller experience.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. So I just love that. Allison, thank you so much for this conversation. I mean, this
my
has
pleasure.
Blessed me,
oh.
Truly, and I know it's blessed everyone that's listening. So I really appreciate it. Y'all can search for Allison Myers, A-L-L-I-S-O-N-M-Y-E-R-S. She's so intelligent, so smart, so funny,
uh-huh.
so witty, and And I just love what you're doing. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And come back.
Yes,
I want you
ma'am.
To come back. Yeah, we gotta
got
to talk
it.
More. So everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. You can follow us on social media at EHEW Radio. Everyone, my name is Carla Nivens. Have a great week.